Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
17 seconds from game 7 or from championship number 6. Jordan, open. Chicago with the lead!
Anybody see what the date is today? No, it's not just February 3rd, 2023. No, it's 2-3-23. So it's just a bunch of 23s. And if you are, I know if you are a Chicagoan or from the suburbs or from Northwest Indiana, I think I know that when you hear the 23, first person that comes to your mind has to be Michael Jordan, right? Right? Aren't we all like that, or is that just me? I think we're all like that. You hear the number 23, and you associate it with Michael Jordan. Yes. Yes. And there, there have been some formidable 23s in this town. I mean, Michael Jordan stands above all by a mile, but I don't think Ryan Sandberg is a slouch, you know, getting into the Hall of Fame, hair restore, the weed, everything. So that's, yeah, man, that's no slouch. Devin Hester, yeah! Devin Hester wore number 23 and probably will be in the Hall of Fame someday. So that jersey number has been to be reckoned with in the city of Chicago. But I don't know, like when Michael Jordan stuff comes up and we're like allowed to reminisce or talk about our Bulls fandom or covering them if they are media stories, I always go back to like the Bulls, the 90s Bulls in particular, because there was life before the 90s Bulls with Michael Jordan. And I live that too. There was two things. The 90s, for me, because I was in college, it was a part of the lifestyle. Like, the Bulls were part of the lifestyle. Like, what we did, what we would go out and do, what we would put things around. We'd say, oh, where are we meeting tonight to watch this Bulls playoff game? Or even just a stupid game on a Wednesday night against the Atlanta Hawks. Where are we going to watch Jordan tonight? You know, it was like, it was, and I was just thinking, like, how grateful, like, I am to have lived that at that time, to, you know, be in college during the 90s. Like, I was that age. So, like, just making it part of the landscape, part of what we did, part of what we worked around in our social lives and where parties would be and who had the TV that we could project and watch a Bulls game. So I always look at that part in the 90s. And then before that, like when you had just like crazy unpolished Michael Jordan, that athlete, like when he, you know, in those bad years for the Bulls, his, you know, his rookie year and, you know, some lean years in terms of who was around him. And even though the team kind of blew and you knew that that wasn't going to be the nucleus of a Michael Jordan team, to get to actually be at the right age, like junior high age, to watch the development of that guy and just like see it, even through my dumb young eyes, like, oh, this guy is worth watching every time he's on, every time, every stupid game, every Tuesday night game is worth watching everything this guy does, everything. And that, and the score be damned. Like, it was really like that. Because I just want to see, okay, I want to see him own the baseline again and just do, and he satiated every itch that you have going into any game, and watching him be immortal and do incredible things just on a night-to-night basis. Like, I always feel like, yeah, I was in the wheelhouse for that too. And, you know, so those were two, and I'm sure if I had covered the 90s Bulls as a reporter, I'd be bragging about it and talking about it and telling stories about it and all of that. But I don't feel like, I'm not mad I missed it. If I could just hit the button, I would rather have been just a fan during what, and for the most part, I got to be during all of that stuff in the 90s. Just watching it like without hesitation. And in terms of how I felt about it, you know? So I always feel like that it was important for me to have that as to wear that as a fan, because now I'm a protector. Now I'm a protector of Michael Jordan. I'm a protector of the 90s Bulls, all of that stuff. Just like I'm a protector of the 80s Bears. You know? I mean, I try not to hit people over the head with it. But because it was in my wheelhouse once upon a time ago, I'd carry strong, passionate feelings for it. 312-644-6767 is the number. I got to catch up on these calls. Oh no, we've lost Jared. Do we have Mike? Do we have Mike from Geneva, Tyler?
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you, man? Hey, what's going on?
I'm very good. Thank you for reminiscing. And I'm a little bit older than you.
Okay.
Maybe 10 years older, but
all right,
your perspectives really ring true with me, because, I, like you say, it was an event to watch a Bulls game, and you would be exhausted by the end of that game just watching it.
Yes.
You know, you were into everything, the interaction on the court between Jordan and the players, between Jordan and the refs, you know,
yeah.
Whatever. It was like he would hold people accountable. He would scold them. He would cheer them. It was all of it. And I was lucky enough, because my wife used to work in the city and her boss had season tickets, literally seats A1 and A2 in the old Chicago Stadium. The first row, the dead center court, seats A1 and A2. And I got to go a few times and in the stadium. I mean, and it was unbelievable. I mean, it's everything you hear about. It was just awesome to be a part of that.
Yeah, no, it was, man. There, you know, nothing like it before, previous to it in Chicago sports, that's for sure. And I know I've told this story, man. Like, we would do what we had to do to get our hands on tickets back in the day, just to go see. Like I said, some big games, some just whatever games, you know. Back when you could just take a wad of cash and see how far you could get in, you know, and we worked that system really well. We had a guy who used to help us named Big Bad that lived right around there on the west side. Oh, man. And they had some ways of getting us in. So it was, I don't want to incriminate myself.
I always wish that I was able to be around during that time, like in the early to late 90s in between, because I never got to really live through the Jordan time, but I mean I gotta thank my dad for he recorded all of 98's finals games on VHS.
So
he like would make me like rewatch it with him, and so it gave me like, it kind of gave me the feeling like I was able to live through it, but I mean like it wasn't the same, you know, like seeing the same true greatness like live than like recorded. But I mean, the things that this man was doing was out of this world.
Yeah, yeah. And you would do whatever you had to do to get your hands on those tickets and take in as many games as you possibly could and make sure that you're in your seat. It's before the introductions begin. I mean, the whole thing was just, it was all glorious. So the only time, the last thing I'll say about Michael Jordan Day is that I did the only time I covered him as in the NBA, it was too late. He was with the Washington Wizards. So, and it was when, it was that first game that they came to Chicago. I went to the shoot around on Saturday. And I think that was like one of the only times I kind of did get like felt in awe of the subject. And we all talked to him. I didn't have any exclusive interview or anything like that. But I remember as the lights were kind of dimming in the United Center that day, Jordan was just sitting on the bench by himself. There were some PR people sort of hovering, and I swear to God, what I wanted to do was go up to him and not try to be, not be a jerk and like start asking more questions. But I really just want, like, based on what I was telling you about how it was a lifestyle for me, like Jordan and hanging out with friends and everything was big, I just wanted to say thanks. So, hey, man. Thanks, dude. Thanks for entertaining me and my bros in the 90s. Real good. Thanks. That's all I want to say. And I kind of just chick. I was like, nah, it's kind of not professional. And I probably will get swarmed if they see somebody go up to him now that he's done his media. You know, it'd be like, how dare you come and get in the aura of the king, of King Jordan. So I stayed away from it. But That is what goes through my mind, at least on this version of 2-23. That is what we're talking about, Michael Jordan. The Bulls of now, though, we were just talking about them and Andre Drummond and the nice game, too, for, well, Patrick Williams did not actually have a very nice game last night. Kobe White played well with 20. Ayo Dosunmu with his season high 22 points, 9 of 10 from the field. I've liked the way Vucevic has played recently. So he looks like a meaner version of himself this year, Nikola Vucevic. I mean, he's one of those guys that everybody always wants more from him, because when he's going well, it's really good. When he is dominating down low and he's making his threes like he does, there are moments where he does look like what we thought he was in Orlando. And I understand that maybe it was a little bit skewed playing for the team that he was playing with, which was a bad team and never had played with really good players like he does now. But there always are those moments where you could say, you know what, you know, Vucevic gets a lot of crap, but he can be dominant at times. Like, Nikola Vucevic can be a dominant force down low for the Bulls, and he is skilled. He is good at his footwork is good. His moves are good. He is not like a stomper down there. So he, you know, Vucevic is a guy who, like, you always want, and then you feel like he lets off a little bit, and then he misses a bunch of shots, and like you almost feel his confidence leaving him, like when you watch him play, and you kind of take the deep breath, and then, you know, and then Vuce gets back to where he was. But yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking about with Vucevic, that he has had a little bit more of an edge to him that I have felt this year. Nice night for Kobe White, 20 points, and had three threes last night. And the great mystery of all for the Bulls continues to be Pat Williams, and you know, the 6 points and three rebounds last night. And I will say this about him. I don't know if this is good or bad, but he gets the benefit of the doubt just about more than anybody that was drafted as highly as he was in this town. In terms of, I know there's been some lofty expectations for him. I'm not saying that people have not been critical of him and have not been hard on him. But you don't hear a lot of giving up on Patrick Williams at this point. And I'm not positive of why that is. And maybe it's because that he, you know, the 1 year in college, a weird career with the pandemic and the injury last year, that maybe we literally just haven't seen enough of Patrick Williams in the right places. But I don't know that I've ever seen a guy like that get the benefit of the doubt for this long in terms of the way that he is graded. And I think some of that was that was a weird draft. There wasn't like that big, there weren't many heavies in that draft. And it was kind of like you have the luxury of maybe taking a guy like Patrick Williams with the physical attributes that looked like he could be a guy who could blossom into something. You had, you know, sort of the benefit, if you're Arturis Karnišovas, of looking at it like that. So maybe he's graded a little bit differently because of that. But I don't know. It's like a daily conundrum. You know, he has a good game, and there's like, okay, that's what we're talking about. And then the next day he's got 6 points and 3 rebounds. Like, it's so volatile with Patrick Williams and, you know, with a lot of these guys on this team. The one other thing, too, that I wanted to play, I have some audio here of LaVar Ball and Tyler Butterball. I don't know how many cuts do we have here? How is this broken down? Is it one big cut from LaVar Ball talking about his son Lonzo Ball and the injury?
Yeah, we have a clip of Lonzo's gift is making everyone better.
And I said, you know what? What y'all don't understand about Lonzo is his gift is not scoring points. His gift is not assists. His gift is he make everybody around him better, regardless. That's his gift. Win or lose, he gonna make everybody better around him. That's what people don't get. They stuck on, he needs to score more. He needs to do this. No. Hey, when he played with Zach and DeMar, they was considered DeMar MVP of the league.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? It's probably not the cut I was necessarily looking for, because we kind of know that there was some stuff, and I'm gonna try to find it, that he was saying on Stacey King's podcast that was supposed to make me feel better about what is going on with Lonzo Ball, but it absolutely didn't. So I'm gonna take a break. Well, phone lines are open to, by the way. I'm here until 9 o'clock tonight, so jump in if you would like. I am here for you. 312-644-6767 is the number. I'm going to find those comments from LaVar Ball. Yes, we're going to talk a little bit about Lonzo Ball. I'm sorry. I know. To talk about another hot button. Like, are we done with Lonzo Ball or are we not done with Lonzo Ball? LaVar Ball is talking, so we're not done with him. So we will talk about that coming up here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back live with more Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And we're open. 312-644-6767 is the number. All right. This was actually the audio that I wanted us to hear in regards to the Bulls and LaVar Ball, who is the father of Lonzo Ball and this never-ending injury. And LaVar Ball was on Stacey King and Mark Schanowski's Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast. And this is what dad said about son.
Set the record straight. Where's Lonzo's knee health at? And will he be able to play NBA basketball again?
Yeah, but it's a better story when you say, oh, his career. You got a lot of folks to sit out for a year or two. Look at Michael Porter, the dude for Denver. I mean, come on. You can look how long Zion's been. But the Ball name is good for business. So you want some stories, you got to say, oh, he's not coming back as fast as he could. He could come back faster, but he had to be in Cali. And you know who could make him come back faster? Me. Folks don't understand. When he was running heels and doing my stuff, he won't get hurt. They got hurt when they got to the NBA. Stop and got away from me. Because if he was still with me, guess what? You're still going to be eating eggs and stuff in the breakfast, and you're still going to be drinking that milk. You ain't going to have all the bone tears and all this stuff, man, because you're going to eat the stuff I tell you to eat, what you've been doing to get you there. And everybody likes to say, oh, I don't think you should have worn them big ball of shoes. No, you got hurt in them Kobe's. You wearing another dude's shoe. Now you got knee problems and all this stuff, man. But these folks around the way they're training him, the way they're doing him, I'm like, man.
Yeah, but I think Bulls fans right now, LaVar, are wondering when can Lonzo play basketball again? When will he be back on the NBA court?
Gotta be, like I told him, do everything slow. Don't be 70% and try to come out there. Be 100%. This is what I explain to him and what I tell him all the time. I say, son, people are like this. Well, if it's only two games left, you might as well sit out to see you. I said, son, if it's two games left and you're 100%, you better play them two games. Because this is the game that you love. So whenever you're 100%, come back and be ready to go. It ain't about sitting out one game, 20 games and all. What about the money and that stuff like that? Nah. Just make sure you're healthy and good to go where you can play the same way. Lonzo is going to be fine. He's only 25 years old. He can get his stuff together and he'll be ready to play and do his thing again, you know. But people just got to stay off of that and thinking, oh, you're going to come back tomorrow or next week or next month. I mean, he had some debris in a nerve. That's going to cause you to do some other things. That's why he couldn't get nothing done. It was a nerve. Some of the debris was in the nerve. Don't allow you to bend and stretch like that. But all that's done now. So now it's about getting your strength back and then getting your endurance. And once you get your strength back, now you can see how long you can do it for.
My goodness, that is a mouthful right there. From, I was going to say Mr. Ball. That is LaVar Ball talking about Lonzo Ball. And, man, he you know, I haven't heard from him in a while. And I always wonder, will he kind of, like, tone it down a notch? Or will he discover humility at some point? No. Still the same guy. Same exactly. I got to tell you, when he said, that sounded just awful. Like, I feel worse now about Lonzo Ball and his future with the Bulls or even in the NBA. I feel worse now than I even did before. When he's like lots of guys miss 1 or 2 years in a row. Do lots of guys miss 2 years of basketball? Really? I mean, he gave a couple of examples, but is there a lot of guys who miss 2 straight years with an injury that come back like they were previously or come back at all? Like,
I know Markelle Fultz, he was out for quite a while, but I don't think it was nearly like close to 2 years.
Yeah. But then even, you know, thriving after that, like could some don't come back and then some aren't the same player that they were before. So, and I guess I understand that Mr. Ball wants to, you know, be a positive spokesperson for his son and just make it sound like, there's nothing to see here. What? This is a very important player about whom information has been slow to come, and he has been slow to recover from whatever it is specifically, you know, whatever you want to throw in there about him. This has been a long, arduous process that doesn't feel very exact. Like, that's the problem. None of this has felt exact. It's been guessing, and we don't know. It's been way too much we don't know, and that's the scary part in terms of, you know, the player himself and his own future, and then how he associates with the Bulls going forward in terms of playing for them and being the same player that he was and fulfilling his contract and all of that stuff. So, and all of that is in question, and it should be questioned. And I guess LeVar, like a good father, it sounded like none of it was a big deal, but that's what he was doing. He was making it sound like none of that stuff is a big deal when, in fact, it's a huge deal, and we're all sick of talking about it. But it, you know, if you're going to talk about it properly, I think that it has to be referenced, that we can't just stop referencing Lonzo Ball and all that has gone on. And I mean, at this point, we've outsized how much of a change the Bulls would be with Lonzo Ball back. I mean, we are not talking about, you know, this game-changing offensive or defensive presence, but a really good offensive and defensive presence with this Bulls team that still could use order at point guard. So, you know, that those simple things would make them better. Would there be a discernible change in the Eastern Conference and for the Bulls and for their sakes if Lonzo Ball was there? Like, I don't know. But I think there would be a different order to things, and maybe along the way the Bulls would not have had to deal with some of the shortcomings that they have had to endure throughout this year. 312-644-6767. I'm Mark Grody. I get to be here with you until 9 o'clock. And I believe this is, do we have Mike? Is it Mike from Geneva, or was that before?
Oh, we already had Mike.
Oh, we already talked to Mike. Okay. So so what you're saying is we're not going to talk to Mike again. All right. Well, that's good. Cause I think that was going back to the Jordan stuff anyway, as opposed to by the way, there's a snubbing that has occurred with the Bulls. Not DeMar DeRozan. Everybody was celebrating DeRozan going to the All-Star team, but Ayo Dosunmu did not get asked to the Futures game, which he was a part of last year, where it's the rookies against the Rising Stars is what it is. And it does feel like things have been slower with Ayo Dosunmu this year, but I think a lot of that is because of this discovery phase of Ayo last year, where none of us expected him to really be a contributor. I mean, I didn't think he would start the season with the Bulls last year. I just thought it seemed like all signs pointed towards need some polish, and, you know, could be good down the road. But getting into the rotation quickly and us all being surprised by it and enjoying it together from a Bulls fan standpoint and from the standpoint that this local kid, I mean, that whether you wanted to or not, the local angle was huge, is huge with Io DeSumo. So you had all of that sort of unraveling at once last year with Io DeSumo while he was putting up pretty good numbers. And we know that he had his ups and downs, especially at the end of the season, and we saw his heavily diminished, you know, it was no more playing last year with Billy Donovan in the playoffs in terms of getting, you know, Io had lost some favor for sure. But on the overall, he had a good season and has had a pretty good season this year too, with the 22 points, 9 of 10 from the field last night, with his love, his attacks of the basket, and that straight line speed. Like, he's fast, Io, you know, but he's not being looked at and not getting, like, he's not getting the same attention this year.
Do you think after that
last year?
Do you think after that performance, we're going to see a little more aggressiveness from Io, and could point guard leader coming down the court that the Bulls desperately need?
I mean, that he had his opportunities to be. I'd love it if he did that. I mean, if he was to, you know, I don't know if it's in the card, but I guess he's so easy to forget. Like, this Io DeSumo is in his second year in the NBA. He is still a developing player whose ceiling, we could guess, don't know what it is. I mean, it's been all over the board in terms of what people have said and written about him, from maybe he's a star to he is what he is right now, kind of a sixth man who can heat you up and be part of a system, smart player, all of that. But it's not completely clear, you know, what he is or what exact direction that he is going in. Have you given up on this season, man? Are you donezo with the Bulls?
I mean, right now at this point, I'm just hoping for play-in tournament. That's all. I think that's what they're looking towards. Just because they're just so inconsistent, man. And, like, they're playing good against the good teams, and they're playing horrible against the horrible teams. And so, yeah. I mean, I would be happy for play-in tournament, just because that would be a complete low if they don't, for, like, you know, making the playoffs last year for, like, the first time in a while. And, I mean, if they don't even make the playoffs, it's just like, what the hell happened? I think it's more to kind of, I'm more interested to see of if they pull a trigger on anything before trade deadline, because, I mean, there's a lot of rumors going around.
Oh, man. Of course there are. And I love the rumors. I mean, they should. It makes it interesting, and it makes, if the Bulls do make a bold move, then you understand that Arturas Karnišovas is seeing the same thing that we're seeing, a group of really good players that just don't fit, and they've never quite fit. But that remains to be seen. But it does bring back the question that we were kind of bounced around a couple of hours ago, Tyler, and that is, which team has been more frustrating over the last couple of years, the Chicago White Sox or the Chicago Bulls? There's a lot of parallels there, man. Like, in terms of a team, kind of like the power shift changed, as in Rick Hahn got to rebuild the White Sox. And so you had a new face, a fresh face. This wasn't Kenny Williams, and this wasn't Jerry Reinsdorf, even though those two guys have had a very successful relationship. They did put the World Series together, so this is not a demean Kenny Williams or Jerry Reinsdorf piece here. It's only just to highlight the fact that, yeah, there was a freshness associated with what the White Sox were finally allowed to do, and some of the big-time talent that was coming into the organization, and obviously the trade for Eloy, and just all sorts of things coming together for that team to where it has gotten to, and that is a team that is capable of getting to the playoffs at least in a couple of years, but not doing a damn thing with it. And then in last year's case, not doing anything at all with any of it because they didn't make the playoffs. So that's frustrating when your team loaded with talent that has no chance of getting to the next level. That's the White Sox, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Bulls as well. They got all-stars, man. DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic, Zach LaVine, all-stars. Was Lonzo Ball ever an all-star?
I don't think so. I'll look that up.
I'm going to say no. But Yeah, the both teams, like, they're not going to insult your sensibilities necessarily. And I don't think that you're going to just – they're not hateable teams, and they're not going to embarrass themselves. They're just never going to be as good as you want them to be. And that is a frustrating place to live.
Yeah, Lonzo Ball has yet to make an all-star team.
That's
ever.
What I figured. But did I leave anybody out? Vooch, DeMar, and LaVine. They're all, they've all been all-stars. I mean, this is a team that has a lot of guys on the come, too. So it's, yeah. And if that only gets you so far, then, again, you have a program that keeps the system running, you know, it doesn't embarrass itself. It's not bad. Everything is cool. Everybody's getting paid. Everybody's happy. The United Center is filled, but it's not going to take you to that next step. And I feel like, I don't know, Tyler, do you think that the Bulls and the Sox are both in that, or do you think that there is a way for the Sox to break through and continue or get to where we thought they were going to go with this core?
Well, I mean, I'm hoping with Grafal, I mean, I think with him running that team, I think they'll give the White Sox a little bit of hope. Because, I mean, you look at the lineup and, like, that team is stacked. And there was no reason that they shouldn't have made the playoffs last season, like, at all. But, I mean, with the Bulls, the thing that's been running through my mind is that, like, it seems like there's an issue going on with player development. Because the Bulls have had all these young guys, and they just couldn't get them to where they should have been. And now you're looking like Wendell Carter Jr., Lauri Markkanen, hell, even Bobby Portis. Like, Bobby Portis has a ring now. But all three of those guys, like, they weren't panning out for the Bulls. And now all of a sudden, like, Lauri Markkanen's leading the Jazz. They were the number one team in the West for a while. He was putting up great numbers. Now he's an all-star. He got his first all-star vote, like, this season. And so, I mean, that's where I think the main issue is. I mean, I wouldn't say anything against Billy Donovan, but, like, that's where it's, like, been hugely disappointing, because it just seems like a lot of these picks are throwaway picks.
Yeah. You laid out a great case right there. There is, and this is, you know, with Markkanen in particular, I still don't ever feel like the Bulls are going to be burned, like, scorned by that. I don't think Markkanen's going to be something 10 years from now where we're talking about, like, the worst trades or giving up on a player ever. Somehow I don't put Markkanen in that. And for that matter, Bobby Portis too, who's, God, what a great piece he is for Milwaukee, and how well he has fit in there. What a great career he's going to have. But I don't know that any of those guys are going to make me feel sorry.
No, I don't think, like, the trades themselves were bad. It's just, I think to me, it's more so you had someone that could have been, like, a great role player, or, like, just even a solid player on that team in general that could get the job done, and then you kind of just let him walk when the talent was there. It's just you weren't fully producing him, like, correctly.
Great. Yeah, no, absolutely. And then, unfortunately, if you say they're not being developed well, then you have to give credit to the guy who drafted them, and that was probably John Paxson. So, glory days. Oh, my God. Yeah. Hey, man. I always say about John Paxson, though, you know, it did not end well, but he did restore order to the franchise for the first time post-Jordan, when they were embarrassing themselves with some of the other things that Jerry Krause was trying to do post-Jordan, and Paxson came in and took care of business. Brought in, you know, unfortunately, because we all love Bill Cartwright, got rid of Bill Cartwright eventually, brought in Scott Skiles, and then they got to a certain point with the you know, the Nocionis and the Ben Gordons and all the Chris Duhons and all those guys. It did get them back winning. It got them back in the playoffs. And then, the Derrick Rose and then getting back to the Eastern Conference Finals on Pax's watch in 2010. And that was a team that John Paxson built. So there's a lot of missteps along the way, and you know, it was time for a change, for sure. I mean, things had gone really poorly and backwards, like organizationally. It was time for John Paxson to go. There's no doubt about it. But there was a decent amount of good in John Paxson's career as the general manager for the Chicago Bulls. And here we are now with Arturas Karnišovas, and he's getting his first real serving of criticism. Or what you going to do now? You know, I don't know if it's there, if he's been hit with the hammer in this town, but there's a lot of people looking at Arturas right now just saying, if they're not mad at him, they're at least kind of saying, okay, now what? You did some pretty cool stuff. Like it felt good. DeMar DeRozan coming in with Zach LaVine. It felt good. The Vucevic trade felt really good. You know, there's a lot of things that were celebrated early on, and justifiably in Arturas Karnišovas' early tenure with the Bears, with the Bulls. Like, those were good things, or definitely in the right direction. But, man, they hit a wall. The Karnišovas train hit a wall, buddy.
Doesn't it just seem weird of how quiet it has been? Because that's like kind of like what we were seeing with the Garpax time. Is like, just we weren't getting answers, and they were kind of quiet. So, you made a good point. Like, AK, he was, like, making all these moves. He was all up in the media, like, just kind of, like, out there. But, like, we haven't heard anything from him. So, like, with not hearing from him, should we be concerned as fans?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's been consistent in how much he talks or doesn't talk, and that's three times a year, beginning of the season. At some point in time, he does a round. He will do that after the trade deadline, and then he will do something at the end of the season. And that's all, folks. I'm Arturas Karnišovas, and I'll talk to you next time. Good night, everybody. That's the way it would go down, or is to go down, with Arturas Karnišovas. But, yeah, like I said, I don't even think he necessarily deserves to, like, he hasn't, like, done anything dreadful yet to where this guy sucks, he doesn't know what he's doing. But we are definitely entitled to some answers on what you're going to do now and what direction you're going to take the team, and if there are, you know, people who are now touchables when they were untouchables before. So, you know, do they still feel this strongly about Patrick Williams? Do they still look at him as kind of a guy who, no, you cannot have our Patrick Williams or any of these guys? So, yeah, I am looking forward to what happens at the trade deadline. And then, moreover, what Arturas Karnišovas and maybe Mark Eversley have to say about everything that is happening. When we come back, I actually feel bad for a national broadcaster. And we're going to hear from the Bears offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, and his time at the Senior Bowl as he was there running the practices this week, and you got a little taste of that. We'll hear if he had anything interesting to say from that here. I'm Mark Rohde. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back live with more Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Great to have you with me tonight. I am here until 9 o'clock on The Score. And nothing player-wise piqued my interest at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama this week. I was not there. I'm just depending on the reporting of my colleagues and some of the national outlets. Nothing was that interesting. Really was not that interesting at all when it came down to it. But Luke Getsy was one of the head coaches out there, which is cool, man. You got your guy. He's the Bears offensive coordinator, obviously. You got, you know, he's one of ours representing and gets a close-up view of how the world works. And, you know, could some good come out of this for Luke Getsy as a Bears head coach and, you know, maybe obviously for his, you know, his own career as well. But first, let's hear this first cut from him. And it talks about, you know, how he's going to go about coaching and what this could mean for him.
I always try to, you know, dominate the situation that I'm in, be prepared for what's next. And then, you know, just having the opportunities that I've had to be around the coaches that I've had, they've inspired me. So that hunger and the desire grew and grew and grew. And now it's something that, I hope one day I'll be able to get to do.
Yeah, I mean, and get into more on Luke Getsy, who did have an interview with the Denver Broncos last offseason for head coach, and has, as far as I know, has not had any kind of interviews this offseason. I have not seen him linked to anybody, but, you know, he that is something that, of course, he should think about, and that he should think about becoming a head coach, and he kind of talked about learning those ropes as well.
You've seen young coaches. I mean, there's coaches younger than you that are head coaches. I mean, does it feel like that's close, like that's within reach?
I hope so. I mean, it always depends on what you do, right? You got to have success, and then somebody's got to want you. And so in the relationship between yourself, the owner, and the general manager, like, that's got to be all right. The fit's got to all be right. And so you just got to be prepared for the opportunity. I'm going to be myself. That's what I do. And I love leading these men, and so I love doing that in Chicago. I love leading that group. I take that job as if I am the head coach of the offense, and I take it that way. I work every day like that, and so it's what I really love to do.
He always says good stuff, man. I mean, he is talking about ownership right there, and, you know, ownership of the offense, that he will accept that, and that, you know, that is putting a lot on your shoulders, and because it will be picked apart, and we did pick him apart at times this year for sure, but he deserves credit along with Matt Eberflus and that entire staff on loosening up Justin Fields after the Washington game to come up with a plan and to execute the plan. I mean, that's what you ask for from your coaches. I mean, that is coaching 101. Putting your players in position to succeed. And they did that. But nobody did anything with the Bears this past year. Nobody did anything worthy of a promotion. Nobody. Not this year. Not this year. You cannot lose 10 straight games and have an offense, by your own admission, that probably needs to be a little bit more complete in terms of what it does in it. Those are not grounds for getting a head coaching job. Not yet. You know, he's taken steps. He has checked boxes, as Luke Getsy and Matt Eberflus, for that matter. You know, you could lump them in at this point, that you can look at good and bad things, and Ryan Poles, for that matter. But they're just getting started, folks, in terms of...
I like
of
to bring juice.
That we like that. We like that. And Luke Getsy says a lot of good things and seems to have a good, you know, rapport with these players, and there seems to be some genuine endorsements for him on the team. But he's got a ways to go. He's got a ways to go. And I hope by about 5 games into this next coming Bears season that people are talking about him as a head coaching candidate, because there are real things going on, including victories as well. So you want that, but no, there was nobody. Nobody deserved nobody went above and beyond, you know, on this team. Not this year. Not this past year. There have been overachieving Bears fan or Bears teams for sure through history. You know, I always talk about my favorite overachieving team. Well, there's two of them. There was the 2001 season where they had 13 wins, but just weren't that good. And then Philadelphia showed them that year. And then it was 1994 when they beat the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs. So it does happen. The last thing that I wanted to bring up on this show, the Tony Romo stuff. Tony Romo has received a lot of criticism for his broadcasting in these, especially in the when the lights are brightest in the postseason. It's really has kind of been exposed a little bit, and I don't think I'm as offended by him as some people are, but I get it. Like, I totally understand the criticisms of him, and that, you know, social media has been hard on him. But the people who've been the hardest on him are CBS, apparently, because they're talking about they're using, like, the words being reported here, words like intervention and not working hard enough. That's what is publicly being said about this adult, Tony Romo. Can you imagine how embarrassing all of this is for Tony Romo, that he's being, his job evaluation is become very public by his bosses, apparently, saying that, yeah, they tried to have this intervention last year where they wanted to have him be more prepared. I mean, it's like third grade parent conference teacher stuff being revealed here. And if I'm Tony Romo, I'm like, what the hell, man? You know, if I'm Tony Romo, I'm like, yeah, I can understand. You know, I need to get better at some things. But you don't need to talk about interventions and treat me like a second grader. I mean, I did think about it from Tony's perspective, and they did him wrong. Get better, Tony. Yes, get better. But, you know, just leave it up to the Twitterverse and us to take care of the critiques on there. Ah, Tony. Tony's not going anywhere. Tony will be back. Tony has done it again. So has Tyler Buterbaugh as he produced this show here tonight. And thank yous to Josh Schrock. Who else do we have on tonight, Tyler? Howard Eskin was on the show. That was great. That was at 6:15. You should go back and listen to that. Howard Eskin was a delight. So was Tyler Buterbaugh. I'm Mark Grody. Have a great rest of your weekend. I'll be on with Stevie Sunshine tomorrow right here on The Score.
Where do you go from here, Aaron?
Home.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.